Well, I was reading some of the news accounts of the day on the internet today, and I look at all this stuff and said, I'm so glad we've got Coast to Coast at Night that gets away from all that and lets us actually think and let our minds enjoy. That's what we do. Anyways, I'll be back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and welcome back to Open Lines, final hour, and here we go. We'll go to Mike, truck driving in Texas. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hi, George.
How are things? Good?
Yeah.
Super.
Last week, Thursday-ish, Thursday night, Friday morning, I was driving through West Virginia.
Okay.
West 60, really twisty, turny, couple of mountains, lots of hills, and it's a small road. Two ways, you know, one east, one west. Going by, and I hear a voice. You know, the CB's off, the radio's off. I got to concentrate, but I hear a voice.
What kind of voice?
Pull over. Stop. Pull over. Now. There's no shoulder. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you're hugging the mountain already. And stop. Pull over. Stop. Pull over. Stop. Pull over. I'm not kidding, George. 2 seconds later, there's another truck coming by doing about 45 in a 25-mile-an-hour area. And he's right in the center lane.
He would have smashed right into you.
Oh, yeah.
Both of you would have been history.
Yeah. Call my mom. Tell her the exact same story. She goes, where were you? U.S. 60, West Virginia. She goes, you know, that's where your dad died, right? I went, ooh. Yeah, it's time to stop it for the night. And so pulled into Charleston and shook myself to sleep for about, you know, 8 hours.
He was the voice, wasn't he?
I guess. My dad died on the road when I was about 5. And I'm 28 now. I don't have a real good recollection of him. But that's, you know, hey, if mom says that was my dad.
That's who he was. That's right. And you're here today to talk about it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem.
Great story. I love those stories. Let's go to Mississippi. Brenda's with us. First time caller. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi. It's great talking to you.
Likewise.
I used to live in South Mississippi as a starving student. I had to move into an old plantation slave house.
All by yourself.
Well, it was great because bikers had been there and they left posters on the wall and nailed a mattress to the floor and had glass everywhere, and I cleaned it up. The kids told me horror stories, and I thought, yeah, right, you know, baby crying. I gave away the baby crib that somebody had left. Didn't have any problem.
Did you buy this place or rent it?
No, renting. $100 a month.
Whoa.
Just enough to help them pay the taxes.
That's all they wanted.
I had 13 giant pecan trees and 2 huge oak trees.
Did it have electricity and running water?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was great.
It was just it was just a mess. And then what happened?
And then my energy started going away. And then it got worse and worse and worse. And a Native American friend of mine, one day, he came up to me and he says, Brenda, I haven't seen you for a while. You don't have much life force. There's something wrong. And I realized I'd been losing weight. I just thought it was working too hard.
Sure, stressed out, whatever. Yeah.
Right. So a little while later, he came in with a guy that I'd met like 5 years ago and 10 years before that. You know, I met this guy about 5 times. And he and I started talking. His name was Larry. Well, Larry offered me a computer to help me get some college work done when I started back to my college. And then he asked me out, so I'm getting ready for my first date. And I get done, and I'm finishing my makeup in the big mirror in the bathroom, and no wind at all. And all of a sudden, that door hit me so hard, I just knew that my nose was broken.
Jeez.
45 minutes later, I still had ice on my nose, and I was sitting outside, and he drove up, and he said, what's going on here? I said, I kind of hurt my nose. He said, what happened? A little bit later, things started flying around. I had a cat that watched things walk across that nobody could see. And all of a sudden, my antique mahogany four-poster bed, literally the top of it, bent over. And by that time, Larry had decided I was the one. He had proposed to me. He moved me out in the middle of the day, and I've been scared to go back to that part of the world since.
Are you glad you left it, though?
Oh, heavens, yes. I would have been dead. I have no doubt.
What do you think happened? What happened there a long time ago?
I think it's the black shadow. I don't know. It was like you could go sit under one of those giant oak trees, and it was like you could feel something coming in towards you after dark. I don't know, but Larry said he actually saw black shadows. And I've never been able to find out what a black shadow is, and I'd love to know, but I was so scared, and then I kept reading up on it and heard that if you moved over water, that things wouldn't follow you, so I felt fairly secure, so I moved in. We got married, I moved in, and haven't had any trouble since, but I've got a very dear friend down that road that I'd love to go see. And we started to go see him one day, and I said, it's getting dark. I got to get away from here. I can't even risk it. They had knocked down the house. There's a new house.
But on the same land.
And I've got a funny feeling, just like I had a funny feeling way back.
It could happen again. Tina is in Marietta, Georgia, and on the wild card line. Tina, go ahead.
Hey, I think I might have misunderstood. Kind of jumped in and called right when you said curse. And I was thinking kind of in a different way, but I guess you can pertain it that this woman was a curse in my life.
Well, that's part of it. Go ahead. What happened?
Well, my husband knew her. Met her before me. I met him when I was 15. So this is back in the 70s. And I just fell in love. First person, you know, just loved him. And, but he had met her first. And she's the same age. Just met her a year earlier. I don't know.
How old was he? How old was he at the time?
He's a teenager, too. Been 18, 19. Okay. You know, back then it wasn't no big deal.
No.
Okay. You know, nowadays it's.
Now they'll haul him off.
I'm not even going to go into that. Okay?
That's right.
But I mean, the thing is, he, before I met him, it seems like she had some hold on him. It wasn't a good hold. But, I mean, it's like if he went around, he'd want to commit suicide or anything. I mean, he attempted it. But see, I didn't find out all this till later in life, okay?
He attempted it at his teenage years?
He really did. And
sad.
Some hold she's got, and I'm just saying this, I wanted to call in because, you know, anybody that would want to do that over some stupid girl or stupid guy is unhealthy, and it's not right.
And he's got a problem.
Evil source there, okay?
He's got issues.
That's not good. So, I think she sent him a Dear John, and I didn't know that. He was writing me too, you know, back then we got to write letters, okay?
Well, were you like a friend of his while he was seeing her?
I didn't know it. He had it going on, okay?
All right. So he was playing both of you.
He could do it. He had it going on. And to this day, he's a great, you know, well, I can't even say it. I'm not with him, but I was married to him for over 20-something years.
Okay.
So anyway, through our whole marriage, it didn't seem like I could ever do enough. It just never was good enough. Nothing was ever good enough. And I find out later on, I mean, near the ending, he ran into her back in 2004 or whatever. And they started seeing each other. Here she is married and three grown kids. I got three grown kids. I got blindsided.
So it started all over again.
Uh-huh. I got blindsided. And then it was just so through my whole marriage of all the decades we were together, I mean, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s,
yeah,
2000s, still had this thing over this woman.
And, he gave up his whole life with you. Did you have kids?
Yeah, three great, yeah, wonderful kids.
Gave up the whole family over this.
Over this I don't even know what I want. I told your speaker, the young man I talked to, I said, if I had crossed paths with her, I'd want to beat her up. So that's why I'm on the phone with you, so I could just maybe not do something like that.
Get it off your system, huh?
Yes. Oh, yes. But I think this is important.
Well, what did she do to him? Did she curse him?
This woman, I think there's something.
She's a Jezebel.
Evil about her. I think there's just something inside of her. I know for a fact that she had burned a cigarette in his shoulder.
She burned a cigarette in his shoulder?
Yeah, he's still got the mark to this day. And, but I didn't pay no attention. I thought it was some crazy thing, you know. I mean, we're married all them years, but I could always see that little mark.
You still talk to him? I guess you have to with the kids.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, and I still love him.
Would you go back to him?
I would go back to him. I would go back to him. Wow. And but I would want him to be a godly man. And that's what's kept me together.
Do you really think he can be?
I think he could be if he would just.
Everybody has hope. Well, everybody does, but I don't think he can. Sometimes leopards don't change their spots, Tina.
Well, I always hope he did. Now, he's not with her now. And that's another story for my book that's going to come out. But
are you writing a book?
I need to. But he's got a girlfriend, and I don't know what to say.
Well, has this cleansing helped you tonight?
It sure did, and I hope it helps others. I'm serious. All these young folks that go cuckoo over these. I love him, but I didn't go. I mean, that took me down. I mean, I lost everything.
These aren't easy times. You know, when you lose a relationship, when something like that ends, it's a wallop. I know a lot of people who've, you know, had punches. We've all had ups and downs in our relationships. So, you know, it's like that old Rocky movie, the last one. It's not how hard you get hit. It's how you get up and keep moving. That's what you got to do and keep at it. Let's go next. Whose turn? It is Chris in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to the program, Chris. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, I used to, back years ago, 20 years ago, I started helping out this girl who wanted to learn Indian magic, and she was a witch.
Okay, and what's Indian magic?
We did some cross-referencing and magic that we both knew, and then another thing I found out about her was she was born in 66 on Halloween, which is really good for magic, you know.
Should be.
okay, so finally, we started, I attended one of her covens and did some things with them there, and then come Halloween, she wanted me to make her witch's candle, so I did that for her. But I protected myself, I put a backlash in the candle. So eventually, we had a falling out, and she started putting curses on me. I had a tree fall in front of me.
Oh, man.
Almost hit me. And I put the curse back on her, and her tires blew, and she hit a telephone pole with her car. And
is she okay?
Then, oh, yeah, she's okay. Then I talked to my mom, who taught me everything I know, and she said, it's okay, son. I've got a protective curse on you, whatever happens, you know, it'll go back on them. You know, it'll kind of like a shield, if you want.
Yeah, old mom was deflecting all this for you.
Yeah, she was. And we finally got into a situation where she, besides doing the candle and backlashing on her, she started playing with a Ouija board.
This lady did?
Yes, the witch.
Not mom. Okay.
Right. And the girl is dating, and I said, you're getting into something you don't want to get into.
It's going to backfire on her.
Yeah, it did. This spirit said a neighbor, someone close to her was going to die in the next couple of days, and a guy 29 years old had a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
So finally it came down to we had a talk, an agreement that sort of like they taught with the Russians, you know, you don't put any more on me, I won't put any more on you.
Yeah, enough is enough.
But
right?
Throughout my life, you know, if people mess with me, it comes back on them. So that protective curse works.
Well, I'm convinced that if you send negative energy towards someone, it comes back 10 times. That's what I think. Paula is in Honolulu, Hawaii. How about lucky you, Paula?
Aloha. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was just wondering if you ever checked out this one app that they have on most cell phones. It's called the Ghost Radar. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not. What's it do?
Well, it says it attempts to detect paranormal activity by using various sensors on your phone.
Huh.
And then and it says it employs sensors that measure electromagnetic fields, vibrations, and sounds. And then it says it employs a proprietary algorithm to analyze the quantum flux. But anyway, it's really cool. And it's supposed to be kind of like for fun, but I've been using it now for about 4 months. You know, I just put it on my phone, and it's pretty interesting. You should check it out, and then, you know, keep it record. It's like keywords will come up, and I had some funny things, because like my girlfriend was playing the harmonica, and all of a sudden the word sing comes up, you know, like, and it'll show little bleeps on this radar, and the different colors depending on how strong they are.
I'm with you.
And it's just really cool, and then like, and then the keywords will come up. I had a keyword that said Bob, and then a second later said Hope. I know.
I love it.
And it's, you should check it out. It's pretty, you know, on the app, you know, go read where it says help on the bottom. Go to click on that, and then it'll explain it more about what it is.
Okay. I'll have our staff see if they can download it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And see what happens. Okay. Hey, thanks. Let's go next to Mike in Roland, Oklahoma on the wild card line. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Michael.
I'm sorry. Professor Norrie, how are you doing?
He is well. Thank you.
I'm a longtime student. I just wanted to call real quick and mention Graham Hancock's fictional book, Entangled, that he wrote.
Yes.
I finished that thing up, and it was just great.
He's great, isn't he? Well, he's one of a kind.
Well, I did the Fingertips of the Gods and the Sphinx book that he wrote, but that fictional book he did was really good. It just kept you engrossed through the entire, every chapter switched back and forth between the two ladies. It was just great.
Yeah, he's good.
I was kind of hoping he'd come out with that second one really quick, because I need some more enjoyment like that.
He's pretty prolific.
Well, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything he put out there. David Wilcox, he's another one. His Sourcefield Investigation.
What a mind he has. He's incredible.
Man, that was a great book. I had to read that twice just so I could understand it. But I just want to say thank you for keeping us educated out here. I feel smarter now than I did going through college.
You know what? I have too, Mike, believe it or not. I've learned more on this show than I've done in school all my life. Hey, thanks. Appreciate that. I've always said these are PhDs. You know, Bill Burns was working on trying to get college credit for people who listen to the show, and I don't think he was able to pull that off. But he tried. He tried. We wanted to try to get you all honorary PhDs simply by doing that. That would have been great. Hey, we're going to continue. Hey, by the way, if you're a Coast Insider, we just did Tuesday night our first audio-video chat. Went pretty well. I learned a lot, by the way. I got to play a little bit more with my audio. I was lower than the phone calls were, but it was fun. It worked real well, and we're going to do that when I'm in Los Angeles. Can't do it when I'm in St. Louis. We get back to the old text ways. So that is for Coast Insiders. I'm going to come back in a moment. More of your open line phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. On Coast to Coast AM, the only syndicated show that is live for you 7 nights a week. This weekend, Saturday, John B. Wells hosts, and then George Knapp joins us on Sunday. So make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast show. We'll come back with some more final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we get text messages, don't we? And Tom's got one right now.
We do. This is from Sasha in Rhode Island. Man, George, I listen all the time, and I always hear people who have seen ghosts. I believe in them, but have never seen one. How can I see a ghost, George? I really want to, but it's not happening.
If you're going to see a ghost, you're going to see a ghost. You can't plan for it unless you're Joshua P. Warren and you concoct one and create it from nothing.
What about a Ouija board?
Stay away from them. You know that. Did you want me to do that show that time when I canceled it?
Honestly?
Uh-huh.
I really wanted you to do it.
I knew you did. You were behind it.
I just can't help but think it's cardboard.
It is cardboard.
That's just what I think.
But what about for the people who are listening who do not think it's cardboard?
Then they should stay away.
You know what?
The mind
is... know you won't. You know there were pizza parties going on that night. People were upset.
The mind is very powerful, and you're probably smart that you did not do it.
All right. Have a good weekend, Tom.
Bye-bye.
All right. Up next, let's go to who's been waiting, Westville, North Carolina, east of the Rockies, Joey's turn. Joey, go ahead.
Hi. George, first I'd like to start with, in your prayers, please remember the remnant. They've got a job to do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. I'd like to explain to you why you feel on edge and impending something is going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. First, this is Satan's generation. If we're in the last times, this is Satan's generation. We're living with the people who followed Satan when he fell of their own free will. So they're going to follow him again.
Am I feeling that?
Yes, you are. Everybody's feeling it. If there's a spirit in the world that's evil, don't you think everybody feels it?
No question about that.
All right. But these people are the ones who followed Satan willfully.
Are you feeling it too?
Yes, I feel it.
Yeah.
Everybody feels it. And please remember the elect, too. Now, in the future here, we're going to have a one-world government. Do you believe that?
I believe they want that. I'm not sure they're going to pull it off, but that's what they surely would like.
They're going to. And there's going to be an agreement between Russia, the land we call Israel, and the Muslim world. And that agreement's going to fail. And that when that fails, that's when the Antichrist comes, and he deceives the whole world.
Well, we've been talking about the Antichrist for years now, so you never know. Here's the other thing, though. This is what everybody has to understand. Every civilization has felt that they were in end times. Every single one. The only one that will get it right will be the last civilization, whoever they may be. Joey, thanks for your call. And it's now time for Laura back in Detroit. First time caller. Laura, go ahead.
Hey, how are you, George?
Okay, Laura, how are you?
I am quite well. Thank you so very much for taking my call. And may I say very quickly, you and Art were the reason I got into radio.
Well, super. Are you in Detroit radio now?
I was. My position was eliminated. I'm therefore no longer in radio, but I'm trying to get back in. However, I grew up in the Church of the I Am.
You did?
I did.
How did that happen?
My grandmother was a very devout follower of Edgar Cayce.
Really?
Very much so. I, in fact, have the first of his three novels.
I think Cayce had his act together. I liked him.
I did. I do as well. I still think what he has to say is relevant.
Me too.
And what I want to ask you is, do you feel that the relevancy of what he had to say can carry over into modern times?
Oh, there's no question about it. I'm puzzled that his prediction about how North America will look eventually hasn't happened yet. So maybe, you know, I thought it might have happened by now, and he's off on that. He's off. I mean, we had a guest this week who explained it, who said that he was approached by demons in his trance state, and they tricked him. Who knows?
And I still have the Bible.
Who knows? That's right.
I still have the I Am Bible.
All right.
At home. And I want to thank you so very much because I listen to you every night. I'm literally a very devout
Coastie
follower of your program. All and right. I thank you so much for bringing things that don't seem to be relevant to people in these modern times, but are very much relevant.
They sure are. All right. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it. Next up, we go to Carl in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay. Thanks.
Good. First time caller. I've been listening a couple of years, stumbled upon you while I was working one night. I appreciate your show. Great soundtrack tonight, by the way.
They're fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what got you to call?
Well, back shortly after September 11th, I was in college, and I'd kind of been living between a few different places. And I had a research paper due, and I wrote a research paper on the flight that went down over Pennsylvania, the United flight.
Yes.
After September 11th. Or on September 11th.
The one that we think was shot down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wrote a research paper on that exact topic, and I found a lot of sources online from reputable sources. The NewYorkPost.com was one of them. You know, websites that I put a good bit of faith into, and there was a lot of evidence within those sources, stuff about debris from the wreckage found 3 to 7 miles away.
I know, it doesn't make sense. A crash creates an impact crater, and all the debris is relatively close to that.
Right.
This was scattered everywhere.
Right. So I submitted the paper to my instructor, and later, you know, the instructor called a meeting with me, and he thought that there was a level of plagiarism that occurred there because he had actually was interested in what I wrote and went online to some of the sources that I had cited, and they weren't there anymore. Now, because I was living between a few different places, I had printed out everything that I used so that I could work on it.
Sure.
On the go.
Okay.
And I brought them all in and showed them to them, and sure enough, there was no question that, you know, what I cited was legitimate. But it was really, really strange for all these, you know, like news sites. Usually stuff on a news website goes into an archive, and it's pretty much available forever.
Right. Somebody took it down.
Yeah, somebody took down stuff from a wide range and a various amount, like a high amount of different websites, and they took it down in a short period of time. And I have to believe that there was some level of government behind that, that somebody had to tell them to take that down, because while, you know, some people may have felt a moral obligation to take it down for the better for society, everything was gone.
Or they could have, you know, they could have been pressured by their own management, too. I mean, that's possible. Carl, in my entire career, I've never been told by government to do anything. They've never asked. They've never forced. They've never gone to higher ups. I mean, it's just never happened. I'm not saying it can't or doesn't, but in my case, it's, you know, they've never done anything, and I probably have stepped on more toes than most.
That's true. That's very true. And like I said, I figured that some degree of it would have been some level of management saying, hey, you need to take this down. But the fact that every single thing that I cited was gone, there were at least 10 reputable websites. And this was in, you know, probably a one-week time frame from when I used it to when it disappeared.
What did you end up concluding about that crash?
I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm very confident for myself that one was shot down.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the basis of the paper.
And don't you think most Americans, if we had come clean on that, because I agree with you, I think that's what happened too. Most Americans would have sadly accepted that if we had said, look, folks, the bottom line is that plane was hijacked and they were taking it into the White House or the Capitol building and we had no choice. I think most people would have understood that.
Without a doubt. And honestly, when I went into writing the paper, a lot of people I knew were speculating that it was shot down. And my original agenda was to try and come from the other angle, just because, you know, I'm not generally much of a conspiracy theorist, you know, but upon all my research, there was no way I could continue that route. I couldn't believe that anymore.
It's hard to believe that it happened so long ago.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, something else. But I thought I'd share that with you because, like I said, I've been listening a few years, and I've heard bits and pieces where I knew that you speculated about whether or not that one was shot down.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, it just, there's too many inconsistencies there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to say that those people weren't heroes trying to take control of that plane, but something happened.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Carl, thanks for the call.
Yep, you have a good morning.
Okay, let's go next to Montebello, California. Guess who it is? It's Rosie's turn. Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
What do you got for us?
You know, my grandfather back in the 50s was a very prosperous real estate man.
Okay.
And he died. He got a stroke when he was 56 years old.
Oh, geez.
He passed on when he was 61. Then I was talking with my uncle, and my uncle had told me that before that my grandfather was cursed by a woman, and I really don't know the reason why the woman would curse. I know my grandfather was very handsome, and he was very devoted to my grandmother.
Okay.
Well, he was, my uncle was telling me he was cursed, and that she had cursed all the siblings about never being in love. So when my grandfather died, my uncle was a police officer, very handsome. But yet when my uncle was in his late 50s, he divorced his wife, and he couldn't get any women. He died a very lonely man at the age of 71.
So he was cursed?
My father got a divorce. So my uncle told me that the woman had cursed my grandfather and cursed all the siblings, that no one would ever really stay with love. So,
well, she was upset about something.
Right. Well, my uncle didn't stay. My uncle had two boys, and the two boys are not married and have not been successful in love. My father had four of us, and none of us, except for my brother, but then his wife died, and none of us are successful in love. And my kids, which are, I have two sons, and my daughter lost her husband at an early age. About
gosh, this is like the curse of the Kennedys.
And my two sons are not married.
Where is this woman? She's still alive?
No, she died. Well, it wasn't until recent, my brother told me, Rosalie, I have to tell you about this curse. And I said, I heard it from my uncle years ago. And he says, well, he met up with the lady, but the lady died.
Oh, the curse does not die with them. It stays.
But isn't God more powerful?
Well, it should be.
Because all my brother's kids, they're even to this day, no luck in love. And my other brother's kids, no luck in love. My aunt, which was the sister of them,
well, sounds like
no
that's,
luck in her kids.
Sounds like that's what the curse was. No luck in love.
So, but isn't there a way that...
Oh, yeah, there are professional people. There are people who will take curses off. They'll do that. You know? Let's go to Julie. Now we're going to run out of time pretty soon. We're almost out of time. It's almost time for UFO Phil. Simple as that. Hey, so this weekend, we've got John B. Wells with two special guests for you on Saturday. We've got George Knapp on Sunday. Weekend producers doing the yeoman's job to bring you full-time shows right across the board. By the way, even though it's only a few weeks away, we will have a live Labor Day show on Monday night. So make sure you're part of that coast-to-coast program as well. Always live on holidays. And as we look to the months ahead, Christmas Eve and Christmas, I'll be live on Monday and Tuesday. New Year's Eve and New Year's Night, our prediction nights, I'll be live as well. They fall on during the week, and we'll be here on Coast to Coast AM.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast.
And you got it for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.